Good evening. It is exactly 7-ish. Yeah, and everybody's up here. So I figure it is time to get going. You know, it was funny. Yesterday, Carol asked me, she said, where is Carol? She normally right. Ah, right? I asked Carol, or Carol asked me, she said, how are you feeling? You know, about Lent and Ash Wednesday and your sermons. I said, babe, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. I'm reading Augustine, and I'm reading Billy Graham, and I'm getting some insight into the scripture on the Beatitudes. I'm feeling really good. I've got our sermon set up for this Sunday. You may have seen the sign out front, no regrets. You see that? Yeah, take a look at it on the way out. It's misspelled on purpose. I changed the A and made it red on the sign so that people wouldn't look at that and be like, look at this idiot. No regrets, right? I'm feeling good, babe, feeling good. Then today rolls around, right? It starts snowing. Brad calls me, says, I can't come. I got to cancel praise band. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, man, I wonder how many people are going to show up. I get a little squirrely on the way in, right, in my vehicle. I get here. I get out of the car. A black cat walks right in front of me, right? And as it's trouncing through the snow, even it is like, man, I can't believe this junk. You know, it's like, all right, you know, what's next? What's next? I go to mix the ashes with the oil. I got the corn oil, right, and I go to mix it, and it's thicker than I thought it should be. And right before I go to pour it in, I stop and I look again at the bottle, corn syrup. That would have changed things significantly. I got started a little early. My apologies, guys. Yeah. Right. After... Wait, who do we blame? Who do we blame? No, don't point. With all that being said, thank you very much for coming on out tonight, all right, because I know there's some risk, especially with the snow. Who enjoyed dinner? Yeah, round of applause for the Maynards and the Holcombs. All right, thank you very much. All right, there was a movie that said, Build It and They Will Come. Was it called Field of Dreams, I think? I think for Lindsay, it's Cook It. And they will come. So thank you very much for all that, for our dinner. I'd like to start by reading the Beatitudes and then go into prayer, and then I'm going to have a short message, and then we'll apply the ashes. So I'm going to start right here with Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We could use some more peacemakers, I'm thinking. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your words, for guiding us towards living a blessed life. During this Lent season, Lord, help us to learn what these words mean. Help us to commit them to our hearts, Lord, and to live life abundantly because of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are a number of factors that I try to consider when I'm thinking about a topic for our Lent services. One of them is what can cover 8 different lessons. Beatitudes work out perfectly for that. The other thing I consider is where is our church spiritually? What do we need? Also, one of the things that I think about is what can't I preach on a Sunday morning? It is difficult to try to preach on all the Beatitudes at once, if not nearly impossible to do it well, which makes them perfect for our Lent series, if you will. On top of that, everybody wants to be happy. Amen? Amen. I want to be happy. I'm sure you want to be happy. And Jesus repeatedly states, blessed are, or happy are. And then he goes on to describe what those happy people are like. And I think that if you're anything like me, when you first read through this passage, you can be left scratching your heads. Because it appears to me that at first glance, a lot of these attributes seem to be the opposite of what we would think when we think of happy. All right, let's hear these out, at least some of them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, said no marketing agency ever. When was the last time you ever heard the word blessed or happy and poor in the same sentence? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek. You know, I've never seen one of the guys I lift with or anybody at the gym with a tattoo that says meekness down the arm. Most of those don't translate into happiness easily. Furthermore, there's kind of a mystical feeling about these words because Jesus doesn't go into a lot of explanation during this passage about what each one of these means. On top of that, there are a number of commentators who have a hard time agreeing on what each one of these means. Despite that, Jesus said these words, so there's truth here. And it's up to us to do the work to try to find out what that truth is. With all that being said, the happiness that the world offers fails every time. Every time. There's a musician who I greatly respect. I've purchased his album. Apparently, people don't do that anymore. They just stream. Right? They're surprised that I buy music. I guess I got to find out about that. All right? But here are some of the musician's, awards, if you will, or some of the things, successes, let's call them. He has had over 56 million streams of his music. 56 million. He's sold 88,000 copies of his album. One of those is mine. All right. His album was number one on some billboard that is essentially is the billboard to be on. And at the peak of his success, right when he found out that he was number one, this is what he had to say, and it's fascinating. He said, "The most successful moment of my life was the worst. The most depressed I've ever been. I was number one on the billboard. My song was massive. I may never have a song this successful ever again. My tour was completely sold out. I literally had everything I had ever dreamed of happening, and I didn't feel happy at all. So I spiraled really badly. It's because I was thinking, I'm here. I'm here. And if this is it, there's got to be something more. Because if this is it, it's not going to work." He had everything he'd ever wanted. But something inside of him was the same. Something that he wanted to have changed, and it didn't change. A social leader from Great Britain said, "I've lost all desire to live, but I have everything to live for. What's the matter?" On the flip side, a lady named Amy Carmichael wrote a poem about an ascetic, right? An ascetic is somebody who denounces all the world's pleasures. So this is on the flip side of somebody who has all the riches, right? On the other side of the spectrum. And this is what the poem says. "The lonely, dreary road he trod. Enter into my joy, said God. The sad ascetic shook his head. I've lost all taste for joy, he said." The richest of the rich, the poorest of the poor, all asking the same questions. Where do we find happiness? It appears to me that it's not as obvious as it would seem to try to chase after happiness. And what Jesus is saying here when he says blessed are or happy are, he's not just saying, you know, the kind of happiness that I'm providing through these words is that fleeting kind of happiness, the kind of happiness you feel as you order your Frosty at Wendy's, right? Yeah, Russ is like, oh, I almost got an amen out of Russ right there, I'm pretty sure, right? Where you have this momentary happiness and then 30 minutes later you're like, what did I do? Right? It's not like a wee kind of happiness, but rather the word that he uses for blessed means a lasting inner joy and peace which survive in any circumstances and can even grow during times of adversity. I'm going to say that one more time. A lasting inner joy and peace which survive in any circumstance and may even grow during times of adversity. It's a lot like what Jesus said to the woman at the well, right? Whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst again. I want that for you. I want that for me, and Jesus wants that for us. Now, I'm actually kind of glad that Isaac isn't here tonight. And the reason being is there's been some threat or some talk of a match between he and I in wrestling. And I'm going to expose a weakness. You are all committed to silence. All right. As everyone knows, I was a wrestler in high school. I enjoyed the sport. I felt like I was proficient at the sport. And there's one match that I absolutely hate to talk about. It's the final match that I had at districts before going to state, the district championship match. Now, I wrestled on a team where I was the only senior. There weren't a lot of guys my size. And none of them knew how to throw. Right? Meaning take you straight off your feet, through the air, and then onto your back. And at my size, it was risky business to essentially try to throw somebody. Because we were squirrely. And we could easily turn you onto your back, essentially. Right? So I get into my district championship match. I've already made it into state. I go out there feeling like I am ready for this match. I've got my head in the game, and this guy had trained in throws over and over and over again for years on end. He threw me and pinned me in the first period. And I still hate that. Still hate it. Right? I felt like I had everything right. I felt like I was competent across all aspects of the sport, but I had missed something. I thought I knew. I thought I understood. I thought I was ready. I wasn't. And that was my mistake. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, blessed are those who have a deficit of spirit. What does that mean? A deficit of spirit. I believe that what Jesus is saying here is he's essentially saying, blessed are those who recognize that they are poor at the core of who they are. That they are poor at the core of who they are, in their Christian character, in their knowledge of God, in their personality. The part of themselves that you would expect to move from this life to the next. The part that God cares about most. Blessed are those who recognize that they are poor in spirit. They know that they come up short. Why are they blessed? Because those who recognize that they come up short can be filled with the kingdom of God. John the Baptist preached, repent for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, after John the Baptist, preached what? Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get ready, because Jesus is about ready to fill you. Get your mind and heart ready. I believe that the opposite of this is a lot like being full of pride. feeling like you've already arrived. Your character's already where it needs to be. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to be subject to instruction. I don't need to act any differently. I don't need to refine myself. They assume that the core of who they are is already sufficient, so they don't need to be filled. They're the Pharisees who had the law, felt like that was enough, and despite having Jesus right there, the Son of God, the Word, fill them, they rejected him. Blessed are those who recognize that they are poor at the core of who they are, for they will be filled with the kingdom of God. And one of the reasons why I think this is so incredible at the very beginning of his teaching is because it paves the way for all the rest of the teaching. Where Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for you will be filled. Prepare to be filled." See, I think that if I would have recognized that I wasn't ready for the throw, I think that if I would have subjected myself to people who are really proficient at doing it, that I would have known that I had a shortcoming and I would have done something about it. But I didn't. I had a void and became known at the district championship match. Happy are those who recognize they need to be filled. Why? Because they open the door for Jesus to fill them with the kingdom of God. Do you want to be happy? Open the door. Know that you don't add up at the core of who you are. Open the door. Let Jesus fill you. Do you want to be happy? Know your knowledge isn't where it needs to be. Open your mind. Let Jesus fill you. Do you want to be happy? Open your heart and let Jesus fill you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the people here tonight who have opened their minds and hearts to you, despite the fact that snow is filling the streets. They've climbed the mountain this evening to hear your words. Lord, I pray that you fill their lives, fill all of our lives as full as you possibly can as we open ourselves to you. Prepare our hearts tonight to receive ashes, knowing that we were made from the dust of the earth and that we will return to that dust, but that we could be filled with your Spirit. And in that hope, transcend, in that hope, have eternal life through your Son. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As is our custom, we're going to receive ashes this morning. I was going to have perfect timing. Perfect. Hey, Russ, no. No. No, I've already seen his videos. I know he's good. I just don't want him to know I'm weak. We're going to receive ashes this evening with something other than corn syrup. And Brad, I was going to ask him to play some music, but he's at home, safe. I told him to stay home. He is the Tom Brady of our praise band, and we need to keep him protected. So I've asked Eric if he could find some instrumental music to play. When you are ready, if you'd like to move to this aisle and come down front and receive the ashes, that'd be wonderful, and then you could come back to your seats this way, and then when we're all done receiving the ashes, that'll conclude our service for tonight. So when you feel ready, feel free to come up front. Thank you all for coming out tonight and braving the weather. I want to thank Marissa, who told me I had 10 minutes at the beginning of the service. And I will say that never before have I said, other than to Isaac, from dust you came, to dust I will return you. And he said, I know your weakness. You guys are such a blessing. Such a blessing. Thank you again for coming out, and God bless you as we make our way through the season. I will see you on Sunday.